Hi, and thank you for joining me on Real Estate for Millennials. My name is Sara Shamaradian, aka Millennial Realtor LA, and today we'll be talking about the pre-approval process. And we have Tada Kazanjian here with us. Hi, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sara. My name is Tada Kazanjian. I work for House America Financial.
And Tada not only is one of my really good friends, but we have also worked on a deal together. And I can say from experience that he knows what he's doing. And the deal went so smoothly. And we actually closed early on that one.
Very early, yeah.
So yeah, I'm really happy that you're here and that the viewers can get some of your knowledge also.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start. What's the difference between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval?
So I'm glad you actually brought that up as the first question. A lot of people mix these two up. Pre-qualification is a very basic analysis done by the lender. Well, they don't really collect any documentation. It's just an overview of the borrower. And what they do is they just give a ballpark estimate of what the buyer will be able to qualify for. As for a pre-approval, it's a very thorough process that we have. So we would ask for income documentation, asset documentation. We'd also do a credit check. And with all this information, we'll do a very in-depth analysis on what you're qualified for. In some cases, clients would want to know exactly what they're qualified for as far as their max that they could obtain. Or in some cases, they have a specific house or purchase price that they're looking for, and they'll want to know that how much they could afford there. Also, the thing with pre-approvals is that once the borrower has been pre-approved, we'll give out a pre-approval letter. And this letter is a letter from the lender basically confirming that you've been pre-approved. And once you have that letter, you can go ahead. I know that you know from our experience, you can go ahead and shop with your agent. And when you want to submit your offer, you could give your pre-approval letter with it. And the listing side, the listing agent and the seller will see that you have been pre-approved. And if the offer was accepted, you go ahead and get the ball rolling right there.
So. Yeah, I just wanted to add that when you're actually putting an offer in for a house, you need a pre-approval letter unless you're paying cash.
Yeah,
so you have to have a pre-approval letter, otherwise your offer won't be even looked at, to be completely honest.
Definitely.
It's one of the requirements. I've dealt with you on a client before who thought that didn't need a pre-approval. He was like, no, just put the offer in. It's like, no. You definitely need a pre-approval. So it's a very important step in the home buying process. And it's really important to do it in the very beginning to know not only what your max is, but sometimes you can even be approved for more than you think.
Definitely.
Right? Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. So what are some things that a buyer would need to get a pre-approval?
Okay. As I mentioned, you need income documentation. Whether you're a W-2 employee, you'll need usually your prior year's W-2. If you're a self-employed borrower, you'll need your tax returns. If you own any businesses, you'll need your tax returns as well. Usually the prior years. In some cases, you need the most current 2 years. Mm-hmm. We would also need asset documentation, usually 1 month worth of bank statements. And also we'll do a credit check. So we'll ask for your permission to run your credit report. In this case, we see what liabilities you have to your name. We'll see if you have student loans, auto payments, credit cards, and we use all that information to do our thorough analysis that we do for the pre-approval process.
Okay, so. Also to add another question, I've actually heard that student loans don't affect your pre-approval. Is that true? To a certain extent?
It doesn't, it's a certain extent. It wouldn't hurt you as much as people would think it does,
right?
Because they're thinking about a high balance,
right?
But we don't really hit you for that balance. We hit you more for the payment, and some people do freak out about that sometimes. But it's always good to consult with your lender just to see the workarounds with it.
Yeah, I always tell everybody. They always think, "Oh, there's no way I'll be pre-approved," and it's like, trust me, talk to a lender, and even if you can't get pre-approved at that moment, they'll tell you exactly what you need to do to get pre-approved.
Definitely,
in the near future.
Definitely.
So always a really good idea to get pre-approved. And how long does it take to get pre-approved?
Customer service is our number one priority. We want the best for our clients, the smoothest transaction. We want to get everything done as fast as possible for them. So once we obtain all that information, usually within the next few hours, I'll get back to them.
And that's true. From experience, I know that that's true because we've done it like overnight before.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime client calls, it's quick these days because we have emails. Right. We have, like, for our basic application that we have, it's just a link that we send. The borrower goes online, creates an account, puts in the application, and we get it on our end. So it's really quick, and we want the smoothest and fastest for our borrowers. And even though this is the early process of buying a home, it is the most important.
It's definitely
because you want to shop with confidence.
So how long in advance should a buyer prepare their finances or documents before getting pre-approved?
Usually within 30 to 60 days or so. You don't want to have too much outdated information. You want
to
have
more current.
Exactly, more current. Because you can't really give your lender something from 6 months ago, like a pay stub from 6 months ago. They're going to want more updated information just to know that there hasn't been any recent changes.
So let's go into explaining the different types of loans, because I know there's a lot of different loans. And actually, when I told people that I was doing this podcast, they told me to talk about the different loan options that there are, especially for first-time home buyers. Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about those briefly, and then we can move into details about specific ones that you would want to talk about.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we have many different programs that we have. The most I'm sure everyone has heard of is the conventional loan. If you have a good credit score, if you're willing to put a good amount down, anywhere from 5 to 10%, 20%. You have that. We have FHA loans. That's for people that don't want to put as much down. They want to do like a 3% down. And it also helps to lower FICO scores. So if you have a credit score of 580, you've had a bad history, maybe missed your payments and all that, we could have a workaround with that program.
But FHA is first-time homebuyers. Loan, right?
Yeah.
So this is really important for first-time home buyers to know that there is a loan available in specific for a first-time home buyer, and that loan helps them put a lower down payment. It's kind of like an assist. So for first-time home buyers to have the potential and ability to buy a first house.
Yeah, it does help. It is backed by the government, so you do put a lower down payment but have a higher mortgage insurance. And we have different types of loans for teachers, doctors. We have different doctor programs that we have, even like a policeman. We have a bunch of different scenarios that we could do. So it's always good to consult with your mortgage lender and see what options are available for you and what would be the best route for you to take.
Isn't this the reason why private mortgage companies are better to work with, because they can see all these different types of loans?
I don't know about other lending companies, but as for me, we could broker our loans too with a lot of different banks. So they have programs that we don't have available that we could go ahead and assist and get you a loan through there. We could act as a broker and get you a loan maybe from Wells Fargo or small banks that we don't really know too much about. So there's plenty of different ways.
There's many options.
Yeah.
Okay,
there's
a lot of options.
There's many different options, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the down payment, because I think this is a huge topic and this is what people are most nervous about, especially as a first-time home buyer. So how much down payment does someone really need to buy a house when considering that they will have a loan? And how does a down payment affect the loan amount?
Okay, so a down payment, I mean, there's no really specific amount that you have to put down. As I mentioned, there's FHA where you could do 3% down. But talking generally, like the conventional loans, it all depends on how much money you have saved or how much you want to put. If maybe you're getting a gift, anything under 20%, you're paying a mortgage insurance. So there's a lot of different factors that come in play depending on how much down you put. So again, when you consult with your mortgage advisor, they'll know exactly what's best for you. You can go ahead and let them know how you want your monthly payments to be. So if you don't want to put a mortgage insurance, you have more money you want to put down, you could use. But if this is for owner-occupied homes, for investment property, if you're ever thinking about buying an investment property, you have to put 20% down.
Okay.
There is no under. So you would need 20% down for investment property.
But for owner-occupied, there's a lot of different scenarios that...
Yeah, definitely.
So you guys can really make it work with a home buyer as long as your financials are there and your credit is good. And, you know, so as long as the base is there, there's so much that a lender can do for you and options that you don't even know exist. So it's really important to consult with a lender, as we've said 100 times. Okay, so you mentioned something about gifting. With first-time home buyers, I know that a lot of first-time home buyers have gifts given as a down payment from parents, grandparents, relatives, you know, or inheritance. There's so many different scenarios, but I know especially in Los Angeles that it's basically, it's so hard to buy a home as your first home. And a lot of first-time home buyers need that help for their down payment, which is 100% okay. And basically everybody does it. So I wanna take that stigma out. It's okay that your parents are helping you their down payment. It's not that big of a deal. And I just wanna ask you as a lender, what are the regulations with getting gifted a down payment?
Okay, so for investment property, it's a no-go getting a gift.
Okay.
So that's out of the question for that. But as a first-time home buyer buying your owner-occupied home, you can have a gift. There's no rules and regulations. You can have your parents, grandmother give you all the money you need. It's a very basic form that we have. We fill out. It's called a gift letter. It's basically the donor's information on there, what account they'll be wiring the money from. It's your information on there, and basically your two signatures for the donor and yourself. And what we try to encourage our clients to do is not transfer the money to your bank account. So we recommend them to hold their money until the end of the process. Once you sign your loan documents and are advised to wire your final funds, which is your down payment and closing costs, the donor can then just wire straight to escrow. This way, we don't have any delays because transferring money over to your bank account, we're gonna ask for more documentation. We have to source everything. And it's just to kind of avoid the delays and just to make it easy for everybody. You know, you don't want more documentation to represent and all that. And, you know, you could be having to remove your contingency or you want to speed up the loan process, you want to finish it up. And this kind of stuff could really cause a delay. And everyone also has a close of escrow date, so you don't want to miss that. So it's best to consult.
That's actually really good to
know. Yeah, exactly. You want to be advised by the mortgage lender exactly what to do, so it's best to talk to them before transferring.
Even before you go through the pre-approval process, you shouldn't transfer any money that's being gifted to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hope everybody heard that because I didn't even know that. So that's good to know. Talking about closing costs, as you mentioned, at the very end of the escrow process, there are closing costs for escrow, there's close calls for title and the lender. How does that work? How much is it? And how should first-time home buyers prepare themselves to pay for that?
Okay, so as you know, in the beginning, when you get your offer accepted and escrow is open, title is open, you put your initial deposit, which is 3%. So of the purchase
price. They know this in the next episode. Oh, okay. No, that's okay. Keep going.
So after your initial deposit is placed, towards the end is when you'll be wiring the rest of your money, which is your down payment and closing costs. Your down payment is obviously your down payment on the home, and for the closing costs, it's usually around $7,000 to $10,000, around there. It depends on the escrow company and title company, and that also depends on the seller because they're the ones that choose the escrow and title company. So we as a lender, we have one fee basically. It's just the underwriting fee. It's usually around $15.95. But escrow and title fees, depending on the company, it varies. But it's usually right around the $7,000 to $10,000 margin or so. And basically, towards the end of the process, when you've signed your final loan documents with the notary and you're ready to go, you'll be advised by your lender to go ahead and go to the bank with the wire instructions and wire over the money that you owe for closing costs and also your down payment together to escrow. And then they'll use that money and you'll be good to go.
Okay.
You'll be done with it. Yeah.
Okay, and so how much did you say a lender costs?
We have an underwriting fee of $15.95. That's pretty much all we have. But I know escrow and title, they have a bunch of fees.
I know, that they go by percentage usually.
Yeah.
So is that common with all of the lending companies, all the mortgage companies?
It could differ. Some lenders have processing fees and underwriting fees. There could be more or less.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
So. Okay, that's really important to know. And let's talk about interest rates. So how do interest rates really affect the buyer?
Okay, so interest rates are same thing as the stock market. Every morning you could wake up and it could be going down, it could be getting better or worse. Everyone wants low interest rates, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah.
But it all depends on how the market is, how it's shifting, around what time you're buying a home. So that all takes a factor in it. But as far as your loan amount, it affects it with having either a higher payment or a lower payment. You can have a $400,000 loan at 4%, or you can have a $400,000 loan at 3.5%. And your payments are gonna differ. It's off the top of my head, it's probably gonna be $30, $40, $50, something around there per month. So it does add up throughout the years. Mm-hmm. But it's totally out of anyone's control. It's just, it's up to the market, so.
Right. What are some things that would stop someone from getting pre-approved?
Moving money around, maybe depositing cash, that all of that needs to be sourced. So when you provide your bank statements and we see cash deposits or money being moved around from other people or other accounts, that's all gonna have to be sourced. So it could end up asking for more documentation. Cash deposits, we wouldn't be able to use. So we would have to back that out from money that you have. And other than that, kind of just have all your documentation ready, recent documentation. So when you do contact your lender and they request the items from you, you have it ready to go. You can send it to them and it's a quick process. Just kind of finish everything up there. So there's less back and forth.
And does a pre-approval expire?
No, it does not expire, but it's also not your final approval. So you could go ahead and shop around and do pre-approval for a year or so. But if anything changes, maybe the money you make or you move to a different company or anything like that, you definitely want to let your lender know so you can get updated information and kind of get reapproved just to make sure everything would be fine. But it doesn't really have an expiration on it.
Okay. Well, thank you for all that information. I think it's been very helpful. I know I haven't been pre-approved yet, so I think this information is helpful for me, let alone all the viewers. Let's end by asking if there's any advice that you would give to a new first-time home buyer.
If you have any interest in buying a home within a year, 2 years, or however long, just it's best to get pre-approved up front. Just get it over with. Know what you're qualified for, the max you're qualified for. That way you can go shopping confidently. Mm-hmm. You never know, one day you could end up coming along and seeing something you like, you can end up buying. So my advice would be basically to have everything ready, contact a lender, you can contact me, and we can get you pre-approved ASAP and get you ready for the market and join soil, shop around, and get your first home. So that's pretty awesome. Much my advice.
I want to add that when you're getting pre-approved, sometimes you could actually get pre-approved for higher than you ever thought. And I know that my clients that we worked with together got pre-approved for higher than they even thought. Yeah. So that's really amazing. And it gives you that extra confidence when you're looking at houses and you're not looking at houses that you can't afford and you're not cutting yourself short. So it's really important to do this in the very beginning before you even start looking at houses, get pre-approved, and that is all. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This was really great information. We're gonna be talking more about the loan process in another episode, so tune in for those too. Thanks guys, bye.
Thank you.